Boys.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
I don't really know what words I can describe that are fit for FCC airwaves explain the tragic decisions by J.R. Smith. You talk about asleep at the wheel. I got to tell you something right now. That is as inexcusable of a mistake as you can possibly make. It's not like it was in the throes of action. You are at your George Hill. You're at the free throw line. You have an opportunity to take a deep breath. Pause, collect your thoughts and what have you. And still standing at the free throw line where he was inexplicably not boxed out, he grabs an offensive rebound and runs out as if trying to run the clock out because he thinks they have the lead and ultimately blows it and sends the game into overtime. LeBron James is looking at him like he has to be the most idiotic individual on the planet Earth. He looks at LeBron James and said, I didn't know. I thought we were up. And there you have it. It is one of the most brain dead, idiotic things that I've ever witnessed in covering basketball life.
Brain dead, that's the word for it. In a final hour of Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges they don't, planetfitness.com. We'll go back to the phones, Maz, on everything unless you have an opening thought for this particular hour.
Just quickly on that J.R. Smith, the whole thing last night, I don't know that we've ever seen anything really like it.
I know we were trying to bring up comparisons before. Tragic Johnson when Magic Johnson dribbled out the clock, and you know, against the Celts in '84.
That's about the closest one because it's a mental error, right? Like, you know, if you want to say the ball going through Buckner's legs, no, different. He tried to make the play; he just didn't make the play. This knucklehead, this guy was oblivious. He really was on planet Zippy.
Brain dead.
Unbelievable! It's unbelievable.
Mike in Groton has been waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. What do you got?
Hey, guys, thank you. I just want to talk about the comparison of the NBA playoffs and the NHL. If the NBA finals were in all four rounds, the product would be great. I mean, the first three rounds are almost useless, in my opinion. The structure, I think, should be 3-5-7-7. And then you look at the NHL, and you know, it's war going on every night over there with, you know, great games every series. And the second point I want to make, maybe more specifically for you, Felger, is obviously the Knights are in the finals. They did their draft. And we have the 32nd team most likely coming in Seattle in 2020. I was wondering if you think they would do the draft differently, and if they did, if it started a riot in Seattle with the different change.
They should do it exactly the same.
I agree. Keep it the same way.
Charge them an arm and a leg, because you show Seattle that you can win immediately with this system. Keep the same system, and let them compete.
What was the Vegas fee? Wasn't it $500 million?
Yeah, it was $500 million, and I think Seattle's already $750 million or more. Like, so, and they should charge that, and they can charge that. I'm telling you, this is not going to be duplicated. I don't care how lenient the expansion rules are. You just, this doesn't happen, and it won't happen again. So I don't think you need to worry about all of a sudden the Seattle, whoever, Vipers, you know, winning the Stanley Cup in their first year, but I'd keep it exactly the same.
I'll tell you, though, I do like the idea of a team being able to come in and being something more than just a doormat. Like, just, you know, and if there are deals, that, and Vegas made some deals that they can make before the draft, stay away from certain guys, or you get this guy, if you take that contract, good. By all means, I'm all for it. But to get to his original point about the NBA Finals playoffs versus NHL, game one of the NBA Finals is already better than the whole Celtics-Cavs series.
Yeah, no question.
Way better. Game one alone was better than the whole series.
It was excellent. And the coolest, right? I mean, on any, you know, you tune in any Stanley Cup game on any given night, and it's, you know what you're going to get there. And you could get a great game, competitive game, anyone could win, and you don't know what's going to happen, and they're going to just balls to the wall for 60 minutes. And you could turn on the NBA, and on any given night, be just another night in November, right, for sure. The trade-off is when you get to the finals in the NBA like last night, there's Durant, there's Curry, there's LeBron, there's Klay Thompson, there's all the stars playing big minutes, factoring big, they're in the spotlight. You get to an NHL finals and you're watching Marchessault, which you don't know who that is. And he's a first-line player on Vegas. And you're like, who's that? And, you know, you're watching the Washington Capitals and here's Brett Connolly. And you're like, who's that? You know what I mean? It's... You don't get the who's that thing in the NBA. That's the trade-off.
At least you get Ovechkin in this one, too, though.
But you do. You do get some, but there's... Well, anyway.
Right.
That's the difference. Here's Dakota in Braintree. Hi, Dakota.
Hey, how you doing? Before I get to my final Celtics thought, a couple of things. Jimmy's there?
Yes, he is.
Which Hello.
One? Hey, Jimmy. So could the worst thing possible for Celtics if LeBron goes to Philly is now if Colangelo's out, he's bringing David Griffin with him. It's a package deal, right?
So my rumor and innuendo is David Griffin will be the next GM. In fact, Colangelo might be fired by the time we go off the air tonight.
Could be. Jimmy has that rumor ready to roll for you, Dakota.
Right.
How do you like that?
And they hired Griffin with a wink, wink, and LeBron's coming here. And
I'm not sure that's LeBron's 100%, though.
Huh?
I'm not sure that's 100%. Did I stutter?
No, I'm just saying. I just didn't hear you. That's all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. One last thing.
The thing to look out for is if Harden gets traded somewhere.
Okay. The salary cap, everybody was talking about signing Marcus Smart and everything. You don't have to worry about luxury tax in a couple years as the legalized gambling revenue is going to go to the NBA teams and drive up this salary cap. So sign everybody you can now to 5 to 7 year contracts because the cap and luxury thing is going to be a lot higher in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, that's interesting. Okay. All right. If those guys really know that and they can plan accordingly, then God bless America. Sign them all.
It's a good theory, though. Tell you what, I kind of like that idea, sort of way of thinking. But what if you load up and then it doesn't go the way you think?
Or something changes.
Then you end up like the Bruins during the lockout.
Right. Because that, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's here to stay. It's passed. But don't laws change? Like the whole daily fantasy thing, right? Like at one point, it's just flying off. It's just, you know, to planet Pluto. Like it's just crushing it. And the next thing you know, someone outlaws it and it goes to zero.
Correct.
So, like, I don't know.
It's risky.
I think there is still some risk there on that. We've got Vinny. Here's another one with the doesn't mind Brady missing a camp. Go ahead, Vinny.
Michael.
Vinny.
I have to tell you something. I don't see the big deal about Brady missing camp right now because if they make it to the Super Bowl, who is really going to care? And I do understand your point, and I would rather stab myself in the eye with a hot knife than say that, but I do get your point.
I'm just trying to be consistent, Vinny. If they make the Super Bowl, you're right. If they make the Super Bowl, we'll look back at this and go, you guys made a big deal out of nothing once again. Fine. That's in February. Today's June 1. Exactly. Today's June 1. So this is what we do. They had a camp on May 31st. We do a show on June 1st. We have to talk about that. I can't go in the DeLorean and go to February and tell you whether that's a big deal or not. I'm just telling you. You can't be this big of a fraud as a Patriots fan to emphasize the hard work that this team puts in on a yearly basis and how they emphasize this time of year over other teams and how important that is to them. And then have an important player like this blow it off and say it's okay. That is so hypocritical and fraudulent from just a logic standpoint that it goes up my keister, frankly, when I hear it, as you could tell by that last caller last hour. It's like Brady is usually here. He's usually winning a parking spot that they give to the guy that puts in the most hours in the off season. And when Tom Brady wins that parking spot and we talk about it, Patriots fans take off their pants and pleasure themselves. They are so excited about that, and they should. And I've celebrated in the past. It is great that you've got a hardworking team with one of the hardest working players in the league as your most important player in Tom Brady. And we celebrate that at this time of year every single year. So now he's totally blowing it off and doing something totally different.
Doesn't matter.
And you're supposed to feel the exact same? I can't live in that world.
Well, if they win the Super Bowl, what difference does it make?
I'm just being consistent. That's all I'm trying.
So I want to know, so does the whole Super Bowl argument, does that justify everything? Like if Brady wants to do all these things wrong, but they win, it's okay? So if he starts throwing teammates under the bus, but they win the Super Bowl, we're okay with that kind of behavior?
Yeah.
And winning does cure everything.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, so
yeah,
if the
Goals
win a championship.
But my point is, there's still a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, independent of what the end result is. And there's no one right way. Okay? But generally speaking, there are things that are the right way and the wrong way. And as long as you fall in the right way neighborhood, I'm okay with that. This is not the right way. The coach wants him there. The idea that they would have this camp and the player wouldn't go, do people think Belichick's happy about it? So is it okay for the quarterback to piss off the coach purely out of spite? Now, I know your answer, Murray, so don't answer. But, like, that's the part I don't get. Why can't you just focus
on
that?
Because they're fans and they want to feel good about the team and they don't want to hear you ripping their team, which I totally get, folks.
Or because, or if you're in, I think Belichick's wrong. I think Belichick's wrong to not let the quarterback have his trainer around whenever the hell he wants.
Okay, so, but that's different than what we're getting on.
Yeah,
that, you know, those folks are fans, and they don't want people ripping their team, and so you're defensive of them, and which, again, I respect, and I appreciate, and I'm okay with. It's just, I can't have an adult conversation with you then, because you're just, this is just fanboy stuff, so I can't help you. I have to deal with some sort of consistency and some sort of logic with this.
Why
and,
are you talking about Peyton Manning?
This is what I think we do have done, I think. More with your wonderful telephone calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Durant on the drive, slices inside, offensive foul. One official calling the charge, looked at the other. And LeBron James steps in and draws the charge on Durant.
They can review it because it's in the restricted area.
And they can change it,
yes,
if they think it's a block. I think he's in a legal guarding position.
He's clearly outside the restricted area. In that particular play, Steve, do you think he made it in legal guarding position?
As I look, I believe he is, because as I look, he's starting his upward motion. It looks like James is there. Like as I said, very, very close play, especially in real time. But I do believe that James was there prior to the upward motion of the shot.
Mike, the one thing I don't like about that is that this was the one time that a foul can be changed. That's based on judgment.
Right.
To me, either you open it up and you can challenge foul calls, or you can't. And they're changing it to a block.
They are going to change it to a block, feeling James was moving. Because what would happen...
So that's a play I just hated last night. Another reason to hate replay. That's not what replay was intended to do. To change judgment calls like that, 50-50 judgment calls, which is really what that was. You make a case that it was a blocking call, sure. You make a case it was a charge. Jeff Van Gundy, coached in the league forever, covers the thing on a daily basis, said it was that it was a charging call, that LeBron had established position. Steve Jaffe, you know, I keep getting the name, I forget the name, whatever.
Jaffe,
their referee expert there that they went to, said he was in a legal guarding position. Right, so, and others have said he was still drifting into him. Like you think that was?
I think it was a block, but again, I'm not. You know,
so I mean, the whole point is
that could have gone either way.
You all right? You asked 20 people, 10 would say charge, 10 would say block.
Not a reversible call.
That's not what you do. You don't put replay for that. You do replay when the ball's clearly out of bounds, and you ask 100 people, and 100 people say, "Yeah, the ball's out of bounds." That's what you do replay for. You do replay when the guy fumbles the ball and his knee was down, and you run the replay, and 100 people, the first time they see it go, his knee was down. That's what you change. You don't change 50-50 judgment calls.
Well, and I'd go so far as to say that, you know, they're not all like that one, but the whole blocking, charging thing oftentimes is a 50-50 to begin with.
It's pass interference. You could call it every play. You never really know. He's never really truly set, or he didn't really draw a contact. You could just, like, parse it out a million different ways, like... Holding in football, offensive, defensive, pass interference, charging, blocking, and basketball. Don't ever replay those things.
No, because this one's a judgment call. The only thing that should be reviewable about that is where his feet are relative to the line. That's it.
Absolutely. But
that's it. That's the only part.
So they changed the rule a couple years ago where you can replay whether he was in the restricted area or not. But then they say once we do that and we open it up, we can actually look to see if it was the right call or not.
Yeah, see, and I think that that part of it's a mistake.
So, of course it is, because now all of a sudden you're replaying pass interference or holding or one of those things that you just can't even, on some of those plays, no matter how many times you look at it, how slow you slow-mo the replay, no matter how good the high def is, you can't tell. That shouldn't be replay.
No, I hated everything about the call. To me, what I would love to see happen on those plays, especially in that circumstance, game's on the line, 2 points to go, second best player in the league's driving in, the best player in the league's waiting for him. Don't blow any whistles. Let it go. I'm totally content to say, I can live with a championship being decided that way, unless LeBron, you know, hacks him clearly. Like, that's different. But the whole charge block call, don't call it. They collide, so be it. That's the way it goes. Let it play out.
All right, I agree with that. Let's go back to the phones. Richard in Fitchburg. Hi, Richard.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing, Michael? How you doing, Felger? I just got a question. So, J.R. Smith has been a decent player. I don't care if you guys agree with me or not. Duarte Kurey has been a decent player. He might not be a prolific player, but he's been a decent player. But last year, I think it was around January, he had something going on with his life. His daughter ended up being born 5 months early or something like that. Don't you think this guy got something going on right now? I think he's fallen short from what his career is.
Okay, so I didn't know his personal situation. There's just then come off the floor, take a leave of absence, something like that. You can't be in an NBA Finals game with 4.5 seconds
he's
left.
He's a dunce.
And not know the score.
Yeah, I'm not making excuses for him either, because if that's true, then why is LeBron yelling at him on the floor?
Come on.
Like, no. He's out there, he's playing, he has a job to do too. And if he does have something serious going on, then I have compassion for him for that, I do. But in this case, come on. This is the same guy. Again, I forgot about this until a caller said it. They were playing a game. He ran off the floor to say hello to Jason Terry and, like, embrace him and fist bump him while someone's blowing by him to lay it in the bucket.
Because he's brain dead. Stephen A. used the word. The guy's brain dead. Jim and Spencer on the Patriots. Hi, Jim.
Hey, napkin knees. How's it going?
What's up, Jim?
I'm listening to you. The grinder. Who's been in the grinder the longest, Felger? Let me answer the question for you, okay? Brady. 18 years of the grind with the whistle-twirling psychopath. Who ground last year from the beginning of the season? The Patriots ground. Who got to the Super Bowl grinding it out? The Patriots do. What does Belichick say every time someone asks him at a press conference, who is starting? Is so-and-so starting? Is so-and-so going to be ready? What's the pat answer?
We do what's best for the team.
We do what's best for the team. Who didn't, in the biggest show on earth, not only didn't start one of his best defensive players, embarrassed him in front of the whole world? You're seeing the true workings of a psychopath. That guy doesn't care about anybody. He's one black-hearted dude. And Brady, when he shows up for camp, he better, meaning Belichick, better have those receivers ready, because when they turn left or they turn right, the ball is going to be there from Brady. I watched him the other day from the poop deck of a freaking yacht, wherever it was, hit a guy 90 feet away, standing in a dinghy. Okay? Nobody cares if he's there. They just care if Belichick can get those receivers he drafted at the spot turning the right way. The best part of the whole Butler story, Vrabel gave him his money.
Jim, a really good call.
Excellent call.
Was that dinghy moving or was the dinghy stationary?
No, I think it was a stationary dinghy.
Most of his points are sort of different than what I'm talking about. The fan that I just can't accept, and it just goes right up my tailpipe, is the why are you making a big deal of it guy? Like, it doesn't matter. No, it's always mattered in the past. What matters now? You're stupid. Or a baby. He's saying Bill deserves this treatment, which is a whole different story.
Right.
And, I have less of a case there.
Well, then you do what Murray's done. And again, that is, you pick a side. I like Brady better than Bill. I think Brady's worth more to the team than Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And which, again, Murray, is, I just think it's a different discussion. Like, I'm a Brady guy. I am.
You're a Garoppolo guy is what you are.
Well, that's true.
No, but just this whole narrative that Brady put in every second that was asked of him last year. He won the parking spot. He was off season, in season, grind. And then at the biggest moment, Bill made a move to satiate his ego and cost him a championship. So now Brady's taken out on him, to which I say, well, I think that's what's happening. Yes. Just don't tell me it's not important for him to be there or not.
Like, yeah, I just, from my standpoint, I look at it and I say, do I believe that Brady has meant more to the five rings than Belichick? I do. But not showing up to camp and giving your finger to the coach? Part of the reason I like Brady is because he does the right thing. And I respect him as a professional and as a player. Is because Brady puts the team first, for a superstar especially. That's a rare quality. If he's going to act like this, how's he any different than LeBron?
Now he's more relatable. The stars, they're just like us. He's as big of an a-hole as I am.
John and Sterling, your thoughts?
Yeah. So what if it's all about money? I mean, what about if at this point he's just fed up and he's like, you know what? If I got to listen to Bill, I want to get paid. Why doesn't he have a deal like Drew Brees?
Let me tell you, John. If it were just about money, I'd feel better about it in some respects. Like, to me, that is so cut and dried. right? They're underpaying you. You have no other leverage other than to sit out. They can't, you know, like, so if it's like sort of just a cut and dried, you're not paying me enough and this is my only recourse, like, that to me is a whole sort of different thing.
So then he shouldn't show up to the mandatory camp either.
Exactly right. Yep. Then you hold your ass out. Yep. Exactly.
And so let's see what happens there. I see. I don't think it's exclusively about the money. You want to tell me it's an element in it? Fine. It's an element. But I don't think it's about that. I think that Brady's sticking it to Bill because now Bill doesn't have leverage and he thinks Bill's a pain in the ass.
So I think he's showing up too next week because I don't think, well, I just don't know. I didn't think Brady would take it this far, but I certainly don't think he wants to take it that far where he's missing the mandatory stuff. Gronkowski's a different one to me now. Because Gronkowski is purely about the money, right? And Gronkowski did give back work. Well, I say purely about the money. We think that if they give him the contract, he'll come back in, where Brady might need more. They haven't given him the contract. He's already given back hundreds of thousands of dollars in this workout bonus that he didn't hit because he's not working out with the team. If Gronkowski's really, really holding out, he's not there next week. Like, that's the one that I want to see.
Sure. I follow the logic there.
Are you
there.
Really, really holding out?
See, I think Gronk's going to be there. I'm surprised that the contract isn't done already, and I wonder maybe there's a snag there, a language snag or, you know, an incentive snag. Who knows? Maybe they got to have a physical, and he hasn't passed the physical because something else popped up. Like, who the hell knows? Like, to me, there's got to be a contractual reason for Gronk. And if there isn't, the only reason he's pulling it off is because Brady is. To me, it goes back to the quarterback. The quarterback is undermining the coach right now.
Here's Murray's update. Then we're back with a final segment of your wonderful telephone calls.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think that JR's mistake was a series-altering mistake, and I think it's cost them. I think this series ends in five. I don't think that would have happened had they won tonight's game. I can't say enough about what we saw from LeBron James. LeBron James was absolutely sensational. All of these comparisons, all the things that people throw up, whether you buy into it or not, he just validates those kind of things with nights like tonight. Game one of an NBA Finals, he absolutely destroyed the Golden State Warriors. He dictated pace. He controlled tempo. He took advantage of matchups when they were, you know, when the Golden State Warriors put somebody on him that he couldn't handle, when they doubled up on him or what have you, he found the open man, fed the right guys. He made a lot of right decisions. I would not have given the ball up to George Hill near the end. That much is true. But outside of that, he played close to a flawless game. And believe it or not, J.R. Smith not only ruined LeBron James' evening, he saved Kevin Durant's evening. Because the way Kevin Durant had basically relatively disappeared in the second half from the field, considering the way that LeBron James was performing, I would have been talking about Kevin Durant a little bit tomorrow. Hell, I still might. But nobody, and even LeBron James, is not going to eclipse J.R. Smith being the storyline because, my Lord,
yeah.
I cannot believe the mistake he made.
So Big Jim Murray basically disagrees with Stephen A. Big Jim Murray's opening take here on an Agenda Free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. His opening take was that LeBron James was to blame for the Cavaliers losing last night. Have you been disabused of that notion over these 4 hours, Murray?
No, the hell with you all. The heresy. How dare you say this on a night that LeBron James is 51-8-8. How dare you? It's his best playoff game ever with all those points. He got cold and tight at the end of the third quarter, and I hold that against him. And not enough people are talking about him. He missed easy shots. He missed easy layups. And he missed the type of layups that Al Horford would miss. And I'm standing by that. I think that he kind of gagged there.
You know what, Murray? I've been giving this some thought. I've been trying to resist passing judgment on you throughout the course of
Go
the
ahead.
Day.
I think
Felger earlier said that he thought this was the dumbest take you have ever offered.
I don't know, dumbest, maybe worst. I think it's a bottom three.
Worst.
Bottom three worst takes of your life.
Yeah.
That's all right. And
so I would like to just take that a step further.
Sure.
Not only do I think it's one of the worst takes of your life, Murray, I think it's one of the worst takes in the history of this program. And that is saying something because God knows we've contributed to some bad takes. Heaven knows. But this one's up there.
All right. Well, he's dug in with it.
One of my top five favorite Murray takes of all time.
He's never looked better. He was brilliant last night.
Yeah, and he gagged.
Especially
the end of the
third quarter misses.
This take is in the Felger Maz Hall of Shame. That's what it is, I think. In fact, it may be the sole first ballot unanimous Hall of Take, Hall of Fame, Hall of Shame take.
Coming from two people who didn't watch the game like Murray and I.
Well, I didn't watch the whole game. So I missed the end of the third quarter, the portion you're talking about.
Manipulating the facts again, Jimmy.
But that's what I do best.
I didn't see just about the entire fourth quarter.
Where he was phenomenal, but
controlled pretty much the entire game.
But in the end of that third quarter, I sat there and thought at the time, this his play where he started going too much iso ball and he was missing easy layups, at least two or three. And I'll pull up. I have the all right. Yeah, whatever. Here they are. A couple of 7-footer with about 3 and change left. Floating shot, 7-footer.
Bunny.
And 1:59 left. Missed. LeBron James, 6-footer. Driving floating shot. I'm sorry. And if you saw it in real time, you knew it was going to come back and bite him in the ass. And it did.
Bunny. It says bunny right there in the game log.
Yeah, bunny.
It?
Right there in the game log.
That's what I thought.
So you're saying you will not be shamed into changing this take?
No, I'm not changing it. The hell with you all.
Attaboy, Murray. Dig in. Don't let us get to you.
Murray, I just want you to know I disagree with the playing of this sound effect.
See, now, Murray, when I...
Shame!
I don't know. We still had that. I'm glad that we're still going to use it.
Take shame.
Yeah. Now, Murray, when I have a bad take, I admit it.
No, you don't stick in your take bunker or anything.
No. I'm much more accommodating than that.
Back to your phones. Here's Chuck and Marlboro. Hi, Chuck. I'm Brady.
Hey, listen, guys. Long time, first time. Thanks for taking my call. Just real quick, not a brown nose call. That tool bag earlier really pissed me off. I was a Pats lemming for a while, but I come out of the woodwork. Listen to you guys. There's no other team that's had as much success as the Patriots, and it's all about the next man up. It's all about the warrior spirit, Mr. Brady leading the charge. This has a complete detrimental effect on the entire team by him not being there. This is two middle fingers up. Right in the face of Belichick, saying, you pulled and benched Butler, now I'm going to bench you. That's my opinion.
So, and again, Chuck, thanks for the call. I think that it started well before Butler. The Butler thing added a little turbo boost to it, but Brady was pissed, and, you know, all these fault lines existed well before Butler. The Seth Wickersham story was in January, and Seth's point there is that this thing's not going to last long because there's real problems between these folks. And so he was 100% right, and that predated Butler. Butler gave it a little extra sauce, no question about it. So everyone keeps going to Butler. I think that's just a sort of an add-on. The thing about, let's see how it affects the team. Like, that we don't know. We can't predict the future. But if you're just being consistent, we have all said for years that the work the team puts in, Brady's buy-in, particularly with that work ethic, is huge, because when your best player buys in, it's a lot easier for the rest of the roster to buy in, and it's been a huge part of their success. Now that most important player is skipping and willfully, borderline maliciously skipping. So let's see. Don't tell me that's nothing. That's something, but let's see how it all shakes out.
No, he's undermining the program. Again, what he's saying is, I don't buy in, so now other people say, well, he doesn't buy in. Maybe I can cut a corner here.
The door is certainly ajar for that, no question.
I mean, the way this whole thing has gone down, like even in the last few days, right? Like, Hey, psst. You know, Brady's been in the bubble. He's been in the bubble with Edelman.
A lot of people had that bubble. Maz had it first yesterday afternoon, where we heard from one of our Gillette moles. Then Mike Giardi had something overnight. Greg Bedard wrote something overnight. Gasper comes and says, I heard this yesterday, too. So this was everywhere yesterday.
Yeah, so my point is someone leaked it, right? So, psst, Brady's in the bubble. He's in the bubble, you know. He's coming in. He's driving in. He's not going in the stadium. He's going in the bubble. And then, ring, ring, psst, psst. Yeah, that's true. I've been in the bubble, but I haven't been in the bubble during OTAs. That's not true. Brady hasn't been there. So now the other side kicks back. Like, you little babies. So think of the crap that's going on. The Patriots people, the Belichick people, are diming out Brady. He's in the bubble, you know. He's in the bubble. And then Brady's people are coming back saying, well, yeah, I'm in the bubble. He's in the bubble. I mean, you know, he's in the bubble, but he's not in the bubble during OTAs. That's a lie.
Well, he can't, because he's working with Edelman, and Edelman hasn't missed any OTAs. And Vinny on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast is running Brady's commercial where, well, if you're watching, you know what he's doing.
So now they're spitting back and forth at each other about when he's in the bubble. Like, the whole thing is just, oh, my God, this is what it has come to. Again, the nucleus of the Patriots operation, the genesis of it, is that relationship between the coach and the quarterback. The coach sets the standard. The quarterback buys in. Everyone else gets in the line. That's how the whole thing works down there. Now they're spitting at each other over whether or not Brady's been in the bubble during OTAs. And they're leaking it to make the other side look bad. It's unbelievable that it has come to this.
Rick and Merrimack, hi.
Hi, guys. It seems to be the day of idiots. I can't believe the callers that are thinking Brady not being at practice is not an issue. Not practicing with the people that you may be playing with during the season is just setting yourself up for failure. You know, in basketball, you have to practice the pick and roll. In baseball, you got to practice bunting and the hit and run, okay? So you've got to be on the same page as your teammates, and the only way you do that is with practice and repetitions. And all these people that are calling in supporting Brady and what he's doing are crazy.
It's insane. So especially after, Rick, and thanks for the call. Your phone's mediocre. Especially after for 18 years telling us that the Patriot way is why they're so successful. The work they put in and the grind and the do your job and no days off. Like, that's just central to the whole thing, and we've all bought in, we've all celebrated, we've talked about it ad nauseum. So now someone's not showing up, not doing his job, taking days off, but it's, why are you guys even talking about it? Like, you guys can't be people, you can't be that big of a fraud.
No, at the next rally, they're going to chant, days off are okay. Days off are okay. Days off are okay. Whatever it is, just feed them whatever, you know, whatever you want to feed them. They'll eat it up.
God. I mean, listen to yourselves. Jerry in Rhode Island. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. What do you got?
Well, I want to talk about Brady. First thing, I got like three little points. First of all, is Garoppolo in camp? I believe he is.
Of course.
The second point is, I think Belichick's actually laughing. I think what he's doing is every time he walks by, you know, through the building and sees the old man with his girl on his arm, he just chuckles and says, I tried to tell you this was going to happen. And the third point is I'm a Brady, you know, I worship the ground he worked on, but I'd rather have Garoppolo now with the way he's acting.
So,
sellout.
I'm with you. The only reason I would want Brady at 41 is if he has the full buy-in. And I'm getting the exact same guy I've gotten the last 18 years. Then I'll hang on to Brady a couple extra years at the expense of 10 for Garoppolo. That's a fair trade-off. But I don't want the Brady that's this. Is more worried about his off-season brand and his lifestyle brand, and he's going to skip passing camps. And like, no, that's not why I traded Garoppolo. I traded Garoppolo to get the full Brady for at least 3 years, two, 3 years, and all in. This isn't the trade-off.
I know now Jimmy G's gone, though, so Bill can't do anything about it.
So that's what's most frustrating to me. I was willing to accept that move, trading Garoppolo if I get all of Brady, if I get the full Brady. I'm not getting the full Brady. I'm getting this other thing. And, oh, by the way, that other point he made about Belichick saying, I told you so to Robert, he must do it every day. Every time Garoppolo wins, or Brady doesn't show up, or throws to a dinghy in Morocco, Belichick probably says, Robert, I told you this was happening. Told you this was going to happen.
So that's the one thing I'd really like to know is whether Kraft and Belichick already have a deal in place that so neither one of them is even, you know, they even care about it. And when I say that, I mean, fine, look, you've already cut my legs off. I'm giving you one more year. I'll get you set up for Josh and fine, then I'm out. And so the fact that Brady's not here, Belichick is saying, oh, this is what we expected. Thank God I'm only giving him one more year. Or, like, is this just Kraft saying, oh, Bill, shut up? You know, like, to me, there's got to be some sort of understanding between Bill and Robert that it's over in a year anyway.
Mark in New Hampshire with a NBA thought. Hi, Mark.
Hey, so, you know, the issue with last night was not the fact that they went to a replay to change the call. It wasn't that they changed the call. It's the fact that, Felger, you alluded to this earlier, 30 years ago, the offensive foul calls were a non-issue. The NBA has created an issue, but they have this godforsaken half circle under the hoop where all of a sudden, you know, the initial intent for the rule was for an offensive player to not drop their shoulder and barrel over a defensive player as if they're a fullback. Now all of a sudden you have these defensive players that kind of slide in last second. It's very almost childish, like saying,
oh, I'll
here first and to draw an offensive call.
Mark, so I'm right. When I was a kid, when it was Celtics-Bucks in the 80s, I never had to worry about charging calls against, like, they didn't call charging back in the day, did they?
It was not an issue. It was a non-factor back in the day.
And I always liked that, right?
Exactly. Now you got these 50-50 calls. You know, they're wrong.
Your phone's crapping out. It's exactly right. The block charge used to be, I felt, like the sole domain of college. That was a Mickey Mouse high school college thing where Skippy Magoo there in his perfect defensive position would get his position and take a charge. And that's like a...
And put his hands over his package.
Right. Like, that was like a that was like a hairy high school sort of thing. And the pros never really... We never trifled with it. Right? But Larry... I don't think, like, in the days of Bird... The block charge thing in the NBA didn't really exist.
No, because when Kurt Rambis went to the rim, Mikhail clotheslined him.
Well, I mean, maybe it's because no one played any defense either, but I'm just telling you, the block charge is the offensive pass, or is the pass interference of basketball.
I mean,
you can't get it right. It's never right. It's too close to call. It's too important. I hate the freaking call.
See, and even the ones that are quote-unquote clear... I still think there's like at least a 25% chance that it could go the other way. It's almost never 100%
right,
on that call.
It.
So I told you, I just as soon see it in a game like that. Two great players, don't even blow the whistle.
Final,
they want to slam into each other, let them slam in, and I apologize.
In the final word, Hardy, the brainchild of most of our final word material, just peeked into the production studio there. Do we have fresh material here, Jim?
We do indeed. Yep. We have a fresh Mad Mike and a fresh Squeaky Mass from the week.
Love it. Freshies. Fresh Mad Mike, fresh Squeaky, coming away in the final word right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town
Nobody
Fair
can.
Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, so we have a brand new Mad Mike and a Squeaky Maz here. We'll lead off with you, Mike, being all mad here. It says Brown Tatum. I'm thinking this is where you...
Oh, I can't believe it's not the Cassius Marsh stuff, but either way.
You weren't even listening to yourself here, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, right.
Would you give up Jaylen Brown in a package for Anthony Davis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Murray!
Because it's Anthony Davis.
How many times did you go back and forth on that?
You didn't say Tatum. Tatum.
I said Tatum.
You said Brown.
I did say Brown.
But I meant Tatum.
Not for Tatum, no.
Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
Murray! I meant Tatum.
No.
See, I would.
Yeah.
That's when hosts aren't listening to themselves.
Right, yeah. Short and sweet.
Yeah. And here's Maz at his squeakiest about bad baseball, which was
so angry. Yeah.
Lack of competition in Major League Baseball.
Baseball has a competition problem. Toronto came in here. At any point, did you think the Red Sox would lose 2 out of 3?
No.
No. Like, I was just looking at the Toronto lineup. Okay, one of the reasons you would go to a ball game is to see who the other team brings in. Okay, who are these? This is Toronto's lineup today. See if you can tell me as many as four or five guys in this lineup. T. Hernandez, right field. Who the hell is that?
Tiandro?
Who is he?
I don't know who he is.
Yonjeras, I can't even pronounce his first name. Yonjeras Salate hits third. Justin Smoke, I know. Smoke was a prospect who then never really panned out and now is hitting home runs. I wonder how that happened. Kendrys Morales is a guy who is as old as dirt, fat, DH, out of shape, perfect for the American League at this stage. Something named Luke Maley, I think, who catches. And some guy batting ninth, G. Urshela, whoever the that is. G. Urshela. And the pitching staff today, S. Gaviglio. S-O-R Tapera. Who are these guys? Who the hell are those? Who is that? Who would you pay to see any of those guys?
You'd have to pay me to watch those guys.
And Toronto's halfway decent. They're not one of the totally, you know, ass teams in baseball. The competition in the American League sucks. It smells like bad garbage.
Okay.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.